سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمنوا ولأمة مؤمنة خير من مشركة ولو أعجبتكم ولا تنكحوا المشركين حتى يؤمنوا ولعبد مؤمن خير من مشرك ولو أعجبكم أولئك يدعون إلى النار والله يدعو إلى الجنة والمغفرة بإذنه ويبين آياته للناس لعلهم يتذكرون صدق الله العظيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام
Alhamdulillah, I look forward to come to Chatsworth for a Jummah program. The brothers are so friendly. Everybody meet me with a smiling face. It must makes us feel welcome. And when there's love, affection between both, between the speaker and the listeners, Allah's help comes, Allah's mercy comes. And Allah inspires the speaker with beneficial words. I've recited verses from Para to Surah Baqarah. Ayat number 221. This is a verse related to nikah and marriage. We are all insan, and as insan, we have certain natural needs and necessities with us. For example, when the baby is born, it needs the mother's milk. Then as it grows up, they give it some soft food to eat. And then they go to school, they go to madrasa. From childhood, they become children. From babies, they become children. And then they become teenagers. And then we become adults. When we reach the age of puberty, 15, 16 years of age, or early 20s, a natural desire comes in every teenager, whether boy or girl, male or female, to make nikah. And like how when it comes to food and drink, we eat halal food and halal drinks. We'll have chicken, mutton, steak, buy from a Muslim butcher where it's halal. If we happen to buy food from a restaurant or a takeaway, we look for a halal Muslim restaurant and we'll buy our food from our halal butchers and halal restaurants. Similarly, when we are thirsty, we'll drink juice, cold drink, cold water, sharbat, etc. But Muslims do not drink alcohol or any intoxicants we don't have. Similarly, when we make nikah, Islam is such a beautiful religion, teaches every aspect of life. During the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were many non-Muslims. And the first 10 years of Makkah, we're not owning the fan because making a very, very big noise. The fans are making very big noise, a steel fan. I always tell them, put a plastic fan and the recording will get disrupted with this noise of the steel fan. Please off all the fans, please. Otherwise, the recording won't be clear. So during the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were many non-Muslims. The first 10 years in Mecca, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, early Muslims, were not allowed to read Salah by the Kaaba. And the non-Muslim used to persecute them, the early Muslim, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, lay on hot sands. And those that accepted Islam, some of the family members were non-Muslims and disbelievers. Sometimes it was their cousins, sometimes it was their uncle, sometimes it was their brothers and sisters, that everybody did not accept Islam. Now when the time of nikah, marriage came, it was a big challenge and big test on the early Muslims, which type of marital partner do we choose? It is mentioned during the golden era of Rasulullah, there was a Sahabi by the name of Abu Murtad Ghanawi rahmatullah radiyallahu anhu. He asked Rasulullah whether he could marry an extremely beautiful non-Muslim, mushrik woman who worship idols of the Quraysh called Anaq. Upon his request, this verse was revealed. Now, the Sahabi, his eyes fell on a non-Muslim, beautiful, pretty girl. She would worship idols. And he wanted to make nikah to her. So he went to ask our beloved Rasulullah, can I make nikah to a woman that worship idols, go to the temple or go to a church or any non-Muslim places of worship? This ayat of the Quran was revealed, verse number 221, Surah Al-Baqarah, para 2. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنَّ وَلَأَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ لِمُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ عَجَبَتْكُمْ. Do not marry those that worship idols and don't worship Allah alone. Ascribe partners to Allah until they believe. If they sincerely accept Islam, that they're not going to go to a temple anymore, they're not going to worship idols anymore. Not that Friday you come to Jummah for the masjid and Sunday they take you to the temple or the church. Or we celebrate Eid day after Ramzan, Eid al-Fitr, or Eid al-Adha during the days of Qurbani. And you want to celebrate Diwali also, or you want to celebrate Christmas also, or any non-Muslim days of festivity. No. If you accept Islam, you can't celebrate Diwali or Christmas or anything. You must be a sincerely dedicated Muslim. For that, you need to have some Islamic education. How important it is to send our children to the afternoon maktab madrasa from the age of 7. When they learn the importance of salah, fasting, reading Quran. And we Muslims have the lessons of cleanliness amongst us. When we go toilet for the call of nature, we go in privacy and we wash our private area. And we make sure that there's no impurities on our clothing or body. Similarly, when married couples have intimacy, it's compulsory to have a faraz bath before the next salah. Before Fajr, you must have a bath and come for Fajr salah. Or during the course of a day, during public holidays, etc., if the husband and wife have some private moments, you before Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, you must have a faraz ghusl and read your faraz salah. So if the person, if the wife you want to marry, maybe she's very pretty and she also loves you, you make nikah, but you must make condition that you must have a Muslim name, you must pray 5 times a day, fast in the month of Ramzan, if you have, well, go for Hajj, you must give zakat 2.5%, and you must change your dressing to Islamic dressing. The beauty of the wife is for the husband only. When she leaves the home, she must wear cloak, scarf, cover her face. She can't mix with non-Muslims. We don't go functions of music and dance. We don't go to cinema. We don't go to nightclubs. We don't go to pubs to drink alcohol. All these places are prohibited for Muslims to go. And we see what happens in the cinema, what happens in the nightclub, what happens in the pub. When the people are drunk and there's a mix of male and female, then they want to fulfill the desire of anybody and everybody. Once one new Muslim came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allow me to commit adultery, zina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a beautiful answer. If somebody commit adultery, zina with your wife, with your mother, with your sister, with your daughter, with your auntie, with your granny, would you like it? Said, no, I'll never like it. So if you commit zina, adultery, you'd also commit it with another person's wife, or another person's mother, another person's sister and daughter. You make nikah to a good Muslim wife. And the importance of marrying a Muslim girl is, she must know basic about Quran and Salah. The first madrasa of the child is the mother's lap. When the mother is breastfeeding the baby, she must read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that this milk came on my chest through the command of Allah. From a young age, 3-4 years, explain the child, read Bismillah. When you go to toilet, wash. And before eating, wash our hands, sit down and eat. Read Bismillah Rahman Rahim before eating. And this lessons of cleanliness of eating must be taught by the mother at home. In the madrasa, the ustad got 20-30 children. They just give the lesson. And it is at home the mother sits and revise the madrasa lessons, recite the lessons of cleanliness. We all need some circular education. We want a good job for our children. They must earn well money. But more than earning money in the world, we must have desire that tomorrow when we die, we must go to Jannah in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and get the pretty woman of Jannah, paradise. The woman of this world, she can be how pretty. If she stop having a bath, she don't brush her teeth, she don't wash when she go toilet, then nobody won't go near her. Even the husband don't want to go because it's so dirty, smelly and filthy. But we Muslims are taught the lessons of cleanliness. Now during the golden era of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there were slave girls, slave women. But they were regarded as second class citizens and low class people in society. But today the slave girl and slave men are abolished. Nobody can have a slave girl, is abolished. And those slave girls, if they make nikah to a Muslim man, they were faithful to the partners. Today somebody says he's a slave and prepared to have an affair with you. But she may be a loose woman or a prostitute sleeping with 10 other men also. So there's no proper slave girl, slave woman today, because today there's immorality and prostitution would they go to. May Allah protect us. But Allah Ta'ala says in this verse, during the golden era of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a slave girl may be from a low class, but she's faithful to her husband and she got Islamic education about Quran and Salah and about cleanliness. You rather make nikah to her than going to a pretty idol worshipper who doesn't know about Quran, Salah, and who is not faithful to Islam. She wants to celebrate Eid and also want to celebrate Diwali and Christmas and all that. Those type of women just stay far away from him. وَلَا تُنْكِي الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا. You can only make nikah to them if they accept Islam sincerely, correctly and properly. And Allah says, أُولَاكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. These non-Muslim girls, if you marry, they'll take you towards Jahannam. First thing is, they won't be regular with the Faraz Salah. They won't get you up for Fajr. They won't send you for Zahar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. The most important pull after Iman is to read our Faraz Salah on its prescribed time. And if the wife is not reading Salah, you don't expect the children to read Salah. The children must learn to read Salah from the parents, etc. And Wallahu yad'u ila al-jannati wal-maghfirati bi-izni. And Allah invites to a Jannah, paradise, and towards forgiving our sins. Nobody is perfect. A person make minor mistakes, you read your Salah 5 times a day, Allah will forgive your sin. And death is so uncertain. Nabi Isa mentioned something similar. Aksiru zikra hazim lazad ya'ni al-maut. Remember death. If you intend doing something haram, remember if you die doing something haram, what is going to happen? And in this world, you can marry a most pretty woman, but few months down the line, we become parents. Then we become grandparents. And we become physically weak. And then time to leave this world. Allah, the real place of enjoyment is in Jannah, where men young and healthy forever. The hoor, the pious wife of this world, will be your best hoor, the queen in Jannah. So make nikah to a pious wife She'll be your partner in Jannah, paradise also. We'll mention one hadith of Rasulullah regarding nikah. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا خطب إليكم من ترضون دينه وخلقه فزوجوه إلا تفعلوه تكن فتنة في الأرض وفساد عريض. Our beloved Rasulullah has mentioned something similar to this. This hadith mentioned in Tirmizi Sharif, very famous hadith kitab, that if you get a proposal from a good Muslim boy, he's reading Salah, he's not going to the nightclub, not going to the cinema, not going to the pub, he's not in alcohol and drugs, and he's got some stable income also, not that you give to somebody who's a broke Johnny, got no job, nothing, come live with the in-laws, and the in-laws must provide for him everything. No. You must have a stable income, and you mustn't stay with your in-laws. You must have sufficient money to pay for your accommodation, etc. And she's reading Salah, not going to the wrong places. Then give your daughter in nikah to him. Don't delay. And the mehr could be 1,000 rand. And you can make a simple nikah. That nikah where just least expenses is the best of nikah. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن أعظم النكاح بركة أيسره معونة. The best nikah is where the least expenses are being occurred. You don't have to have an expensive hall and have music and dance. Those things are haram. And any functions we have, we must have separate facilities for males and females, laws of hijab. This hadith which I have recited about, if you have, get a proposal from a good Muslim upright boy who is character-wise is good and also got a stable income to pay for electricity, water, rent, to pay for food, clothing, etc., then make your nikah. This hadith is in Shu'b al-Iman in Bayhaqi, Lil-Bayhaqi. I made a mistake. The hadith about that barakatun aysaru ma'una, that nikah is best, where least expenses are being occurred, that hadith is in Tirmizi Sharif. So we also, if we delay in making nikah, then the people commit zina and adultery and have illicit relationship. So we don't want our children to end up committing zina, having illicit relationship. Rather make the nikah and look for the boys in the masjid, or tell the imam of the masjid that I have got a daughter or got a son. The imam of the masjid, not particularly Chatsworth, every city, country of the world, the imams of the masjid or the ulama of the madrasas in the town know who's got boys and who's got girls, and maybe they can make a match fixing and make a nikah the proper way. And if you have a problem, don't look to a non-Muslim social worker to solve your problem, because non-Muslim give you wrong advice. Wrong non-Muslim could say go to the prostitutes and commit zina, or they tell you go to the cinema and enjoy yourself, or they'll tell you drink alcohol to take your tension down. So we may discuss our social problems, our marital problems, financial problems, etc., with the ulama of our town, any city, country of the world. Allah give me and all of us tawfiq of practicing. These are general advices for education purposes. Nobody told me to speak about this topic. I'm not feeling that anybody is sitting in this gathering. We desire a good home for every Muslim family. And it's a general advice. I'm not hinting at anybody that is sitting in this gathering. Allah give me and all of us tawfiq of practicing. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.